And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to be discussing, or more than discussing, we're really going to take a very clear and direct look, an exhaustive review of Ebola, the Ebola nightmare, it's been called, the Ebola invasion. Now, President Obama and the CDC's man on the spot, the president there, Tom Frieden, and others would have you believe that this is a major crisis or chaos that resulted just all at once. It suddenly came out of nowhere. From Africa, of course, from the darkest part of Africa into America with the coming of this man, Thomas Eric Duncan, from Liberia to the United States. And, of course, we have two nurses, Nina Pham, a Vietnamese-American young lady, and another lady, Amber Vinson, a young black lady, both who contracted the Ebola virus, supposedly from their service in trying to meet the medical needs of Mr. Duncan, the black man who had come into America illegally, as far as the Liberian government, because he lied about the fact of his contacts with Ebola patients and so forth. And it seemed to come out of nowhere, but if people believe that Ebola is something new, it's a virus, a disease that was just discovered, and now it's going to wreak havoc across the globe. And, of course, many people were put on quarantine in the United States and were watched, and many have been let go now from their quarantine. And so some say, well, maybe the crisis is over. There might be a few more that catch it, but maybe it's all over with. Let me assure you, my friends, the invasion has come, and Ebola is going to become a password, and you'll be hearing it for many months, even years to come, because there is a master plan to promote the Ebola virus as a reason, as a pretext, almost as a false flag for really the downfall of the United States of America. Now, I want to start off very carefully and let you know the big picture. You know, there's so much involved in the global conspiracy that when we look at it in small fragments, in small pieces, we can understand the criminal activity. We can understand the conspiratorial, the racketeering that are involved in these little pieces, whether we look at 9/11 or the Oklahoma City bombing or the ISIS terrorist over in the Middle East, or whatever piece of the puzzle that you look at, it doesn't take you very long to discover or understand that there is a vast conspiracy behind this. But nobody really lays it out. Now, nobody really can because they're too frightened to do so. Now, even some of my very best friends, I must tell you, are too frightened of the conspiracy. They'll be all bravado and talk, and you'll think, oh, these people are right on, and I know of their videos and their books or their radio shows or their news programs. Oh, they're right on. This person has it right down pat. They're really fighting the conspiracy. They're going to tell us the truth. And they do tell you the truth, except for that bit at the top, the truth that truly will set you free. They're afraid of a certain group of people, and they will mention everybody except that group. You know, Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, said, you can fight the devil all day long. You can fight him in every area that's conceivable except that one area. In your era, in your generation, the devil is no doubt making headway. Now, I'm paraphrasing Mr. Luther. But the devil chooses one or two areas to make the most dramatic impact in our generation. And if you don't fight that specific evil at that time, it's just wind. It's nothing. Now, it might be that pornography is evil. Well, it might be that it is evil. It might be that abortion is wrong. It could be that, you know, the IRS corruption is evil and destructive. It might be the immigration invasion is the big thing. It might be that gun control is your primary, you're fighting the gun controllers. You're attempting to make sure you have free speech, which is your right as a freeborn man or woman. All these things are important. I don't put any of them in some, you know, backdoor category. They shouldn't just be on the shelf. You need to take them off and fight them. It seems that we have to fight from every corner today. And believe me, it's sort of like the Navy gun, the Aegis system that it operates with computers, and it can almost seemingly fire in every direction and just go back and forth and back and forth and do terrible damage. We're being bombarded from every direction, from every conceivable standpoint. Barack Obama and the neocons, that's right, the neocons, that staged a coup d'etat in America far back in the days of Richard Nixon and his vice president, Mr. Agnew. For the last 40 years, they have gulped down America. You know, when you have a coup d'etat against the government, you don't completely, in a nation as powerful and as strong and as varied and as strung out, I mean, you know, like America is, and has so many power centers, 50 states, 50 governors, et cetera, three branches of government. It takes a long time to bring all of that together in a conspiracy. You don't just overnight control America. You can take the government overnight. You can stage a coup d'etat that people will not even know has happened. But it will take you many, many years to consolidate your control, to truly grab power. And this faction, this small group of evil people, they have recruited thousands of others to help them, to assist them. And they, after staging this coup d'etat, actually, long before even 1972, 73. But it was in that era when they overcame President Nixon, Vice President Agnew, drove them out of office, and the conspirators took over our government. And since then, they have systematically destroyed every lever, every avenue of the Constitution. And today, they're putting the finishing touches on everything. Now, all these other areas I've told you about, whether it's abortion or gun control, whatever it is, immigration, all of these are ways that, of them fomenting trouble and chaos and effecting, now get this now, listen to me very carefully, they are conducting permanent revolution. Permanent revolution. The revolution is never ending. They grab a little bit here, grab a little bit there. They lose a little bit here, lose a little bit there, and then they go on. It's one step back, two steps forward. And the so-called liberal, progressive, socialist mindset, these people are never defeated because they are permanent revolutionaries. And they know that if they keep up the pressure, that eventually we will relent, we will give up, we will think we've won and allow them then to grab a foothold in whatever they're doing. Now, who is this group of people? In the United States, they constitute about 2% of the population. That's what demographers, the people that keep the statistics as to the number of citizens and their type or their race or creed, whatever. They constitute about 2% of the population. We have a population, of course, of around 320 to 330 million people. They're only about 2% of it, but they're extremely powerful. And they have put themselves in places of power, in academics, in the media, in finance, in government. And they have worked up in those areas, and they only favor their kind of people, their brand of people, their supposed race of people, which is the Jewish race. And finally, they're at the verge of controlling all of us. Now, let me explain. When 9/11 occurred, it wasn't that government was corrupt. It wasn't that everybody in government, you know, people said, oh, Tex, do you really believe that the government is corrupt? You mean the post office? Do you mean the National Park Service? Do you mean the Coast Guard? Ha, ha, ha. You're a conspiracy theorist. Ha, ha, ha. No, I don't mean those people. Although, this faction, these neocon Jews, they are able now to put their underlings, their people, in places of power in, say, the Coast Guard, in the Army even, the Air Force, in the Environmental Protection Agency, in the IRS, in whatever bureaucracy or agency, they're able to put their people at the top or in positions of power to rule over us, the people, so that the concept of we the people running this country is plowed under forever. It might be that the Coast Guard has less than 0.5% that are Jewish, but oh, that 0.5%, they control it. Now, most of this 2% of the Jews in America don't even know what's going on, but they do enjoy the fruits of the revolution. The 2% of the Jews that rule Hollywood and rule our banks and so forth and rule the government, they enjoy ruling. They may not even understand why the Jews control. They may believe that they are a superior people, a more intelligent, more smart than the rest of us. They deserve to be in power. Now, some other day I'm going to just talk about that subject, whether or not the Jews or any race is more intelligent, more, you know, capable than other races. I found that's not true. I've discovered in looking at IQ, that's not true, because the Jews don't have a high IQ at all. In fact, the nation of Israel has a lower IQ. The people that are Jews have a lower IQ than, say, the people of Spain or the people of Mongolia or the people of the United States. Look around you, my friends. Look at your neighbors. You look at the people at the local mall. You see who? You see Indians, Pakistanis here in the United States. You see Asians of all kinds. You see black people. You see brown people from Central and South America and Mexico. You see white people with blonde hair and blue eyes and brunettes and brown eyes and so forth. Mix all of them together, all of these varied races and peoples in the United States together, and take the median or the average, whichever is your choice, of their intelligence quotient, their IQ, and you will find out that we as a nation, as a whole, have a higher IQ than does the Jewish nation. Now, that may surprise you, because the Jews have bragged so much about their great people. Freud, the psychiatrist, oh, he was so brilliant. Or Einstein, the physicist, oh, what a powerful man, the most intelligent in the world. Now, I'm going to put all that's all nonsense, of course, and we'll put all that to rest later on. But let me just tell you, go to my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, and you will see the evidence. In fact, it's actually been put into a book entitled The Wealth Among Nations, talking about the IQ, and it lists all of the nations in the world and where they rank in terms of their average, or median, I guess it is, IQ. But I think Israel ranks about 33rd or 34th among the nations. And as I told you, the Mongolians, who don't get a lot of respect, but they rank higher than the Jews. So don't knock the Mongolians, maybe. In fact, it might be that the Jewish race, at its basis, at its bloodline, is both Turkish not Jewish, not Israelite, but Turkish and Mongolian.
Ah, yes.
In fact, that's been proven. Get my book, DNA and the Jewish Bloodline, and that's exactly correct. They are Turks and Mongolians, basically. They are not Jews or Israelites. But those are mysteries for us to look at. Let's talk today about Ebola. Now, we've had this crisis. Now, Obama has given us the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. He has appointed a man named Tom Frieden to run over it and to make the policies about Ebola. Of course, he gave us the disaster that we've had with Mr. Duncan and these two nurses that contracted. Mr. Frieden, of course, is an idiot who simply is following orders. He is a Jewish man, and I gave his name to you in my book, Conspiracy of the Sixth Wanted Star. I told you that Tom Frieden is one of the swindlers. I give a list. You've heard of Schindler's List, the movie. Well, I talk about Swindler's List. Swindler's List. He's one of the swindlers. Now, who is Tom Frieden? Let's look at some of the poobahs, the big shots, that are bringing us the Ebola disaster. The CDC's Tom Frieden. Who is Mr. Frieden? How did he get to where he's at? First of all, I want you to discover something. They're never in their position because they're a Gentile who's a patriot and American. They're in these high-level positions because they're Jewish, because they're a progressive Democrat, and because they're anti-American. But let's look at Mr. Frieden. First of all, he first came to prominence when he was made the New York City Health Commissioner. Well, who put him in that position? Well, that would be the Jew mayor, the billionaire, Mr. Bloomberg. He appointed Mr. Frieden as head of the New York Health Department in New York. Now, what did Mr. Frieden do? Did he make sure that the people didn't have Ebola or AIDS or all? What exactly did he do? Well, first of all, he came out and talked about trans fats. The restaurants were serving you things. And, you know, remember those big Slurpee drinks that McDonald's and all were serving? Oh, that was Mr. Frieden's idea. He and Bloomberg said you shouldn't be drinking those soft drinks. So they put a ban on those. Now, that really, you know, that's what he also issued 36 million free condoms. Condoms to young people mostly, but also to every other kind of person. You just want free condoms? Go to a clinic in New York City and they'll give you free condoms. 36 million he issued. That was his great achievement. The trans fats, the city ordinance, and every restaurant was required to place on its menu, tell you how many trans fats you were getting and all this kind of stupid nonsense. He did such a good, by the way, he also helped Bloomberg to develop his gun control. Remember, Bloomberg, he's out of office, but he's spending hundreds of millions of dollars for gun control. Frieden was part of that, and he's brought it with him to CDC. Obama, he did such a good job working for the Jew, Mayor Bloomberg in New York, that Obama brought him into the CDC in 2009. And guess what? I think it was 2010 that he gave him another job. Firearms violence. Firearms violence. He said, I want you in the CDC to look at firearms violence. They're doing a multi-year study of firearms, of guns. Of course, the study will come out and say that we have too many firearms. We need gun control laws, blah, 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 blah. Now, you may know about local doctors. Maybe your mother, I have a person here in the ministry, their own mom, went to the doctor for normal complaints. It could be diabetes, it could be heart problem, it could maybe you hurt your arm in a soft pitch baseball game. Maybe you fell down the stairs and hurt your knee. Whatever you go to see a doctor, and they give you this questionnaire to fill out. You're there with a hurt knee. You tell the doctor, I got a bad knee, I need some attention. And they have you fill out a questionnaire that asks you all about guns. Do you want a gun? What kind of gun? Where is it kept? You want to tell the guy, well, what business is this of yours? Well, he's just a doctor who has agreed to participate in the CDC study of firearms. Now, what has that got to do with health? Nothing. Nothing. It's an attempt to take away our guns. They're trying to get all these statistics to prove their point. Frieden is the guy behind that. He's at the CDC, and his biggest job is to bring out this firearms violence report. And he's enlisting the doctors of America to do it. And if you don't cooperate as a doctor with the CDC, they might just contact the local AMA branch, and they may investigate you. You don't want to cooperate with the national agency. You're one of those patriot doctors. You need to be investigated. So that's what's happening there. Now, Tom Frieden tried to go before the nation and tell us all of what was going on with Mr. Duncan, who came over from Liberia, the black man, and now these two nurses have it. And he was supposed to calm all of us, and they have a master plan for this Ebola. But he flunked in his job. He failed. It turns out that everybody is angered, paranoid, upset, and they're throwing rocks at Tom Frieden, the president of the CDC, not because he's a Jew, they don't know anything about that, not because he worked for Mayor Bloomberg, not because he's into the study of firearms and gun control, which is stupid for epidemiologists who are supposed to be make sure we don't get certain diseases or they don't, you know... They're not propagated, flu and so forth. We don't know anything about that, but we do know he's an idiot that he's put out these CDC protocols. Instead of protecting medical personnel, it seems that they're contracting it with the nurse Nina Pham and Miss Amber Vinson. Now, let's go to, remember I told you, I said in my book, Conspiracy of the Six Morning Star, I told you about this neocon Jewish conspiracy. And I said that Tom Frieden, he is mentioned in my book as one of swindler on the swindler's list. He's a swindler. Now, another one is Ron Klain, whose name probably is Ron Klein, Jewish, but, you know, they change their name so that, you know, you and I are too stupid to figure it out. Now, Ron Klain has been made the Ebola czar. The Ebola czar. He's going to take over from Frieden, who failed at it, and he's going to fix it. He's a fixer. He's a mob fixer. You say, what? A mob fixer? Yeah. The neocon is a mob. Now, you may not understand this. You may say, I don't know about any neocon mobs. You need to go on Google and look up the word neocon. Neocon. It's a euphemism. Even the Jews get angry because they say, that's just a euphemism. That's another word for Jew. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. And... remember Tom Clancy wrote the book, The Hunt for Red October, Red November, I can't remember which, October. He wrote a book with General Zinni, who is the commandant of the Marine Corps. They wrote a book exposing the neocons, but they never mentioned the word Jew, as far as I know. They were too frightened to do it. Well, I'm not going to cast stones. At least they tried to put some information out about the neocons. Now, a man I greatly respect named John Hersey. Seymour Hersey. Seymour Hersey, H-E-R-S-E-Y. He's a writer, a very high-level writer for the New Yorker magazine. He's the man, the writer, Seymour Hersey. He is Jewish, but he's a Jewish patriot. He's not tied up with this conspiracy. But he's been exposing it. But nobody is helping the man out. Now, Seymour Hersh is very highly respected in every community in America, Jewish or Gentile. Now, he's the guy who broke the My Lai massacre of William Calley during the Vietnam War eras. What has he got to say now? He's the guy who also broke the fact that we had these gulag prisons during the George Bush administration. America has gulag prisons across the globe. And we have been systematically murdering and torturing men, women, and children. You say, oh, Tex, I don't believe that's true. I've been told. The president said, we don't torture. Well, I heard Dick Cheney say that. I heard George W. Bush. I've heard Obama say, we don't torture. We're Americans. Yeah, they're a bunch of filthy liars. Of course they torture. And now, finally, they're admitting it years after this You know, they set up their gulags, and at Guantanamo Bay, they still torture people. But that's sort of their clean house. You know, they make that a sanitary place. They don't do much torture in Guantanamo there in Cuba. That's where they bring the media and said, see, we treat these prisoners good. We give them their meals and let them have their Quran, and we're so good to them. Of course, we did take, you know, this terrorist, and we did, you know, give him the water treatment, putting the towel over their head and giving them the water treatment for 100 and some odd times till he talked. But that's not really torture, is it? Mm-hmm. But then there's the generals in Iraq that they captured and then murdered, like the one they put in a sleeping bag and stomped him to death then. There's the women that they took to prison in Abu Ghraib and other places where the CIA and the Israeli Mossad raped these women, filmed it, raping them, and made them commit sodomy on the soldiers and so forth and on the CIA agents. Then they sent these films back to the White House and the Pentagon so they could look at them and laugh. Not just women. They also did the same thing to young boys. They sodomized them. You know what that means? I'm not going to explain it to you. Look it up. They sodomized these young boys. And then they... Well, let's just leave it at that. But they did that. And Mr. Seymour Hersh is the first one to expose that. He says it will eventually come out. Well, now it's beginning to come out, and I understand that they're actually going to give a report out from the CIA, the Senate, and so forth. They're trying to figure out how many pages to redact. That means cut out, black out, before they issue it. They don't want you to know everything, you know. They want you to know, well, yeah, we tortured. Because, you see, that's sort of a, they let a little bit hang out. That's like, We allow the people to know this much. Then later we give them a little bit more. Then a little bit more. Finally, you start to have the whole picture. But it's too late to do anything about it. And the people responsible, they're gone anyway. Who are they? Well, they're not going to name them. That's been redacted. That's been blacked out. Like JFK. Yeah, of course we know that a conspiracy killed him. But it's too late now. We don't know anything about it. We can't really tell who did it. So just forget it. You'll forget it. You're an American. Your memory's short. They know that. Seymour Hersh was recently a speaker at the National American Civil Liberties Union. Think of that. The ACLU, these people that believe in liberties and free speech and all this nonsense, they're all a bunch of a pack of raving liberals, but they supposedly believe in these things. He was a speaker there. Now, when we come back in just a minute, I'm going to tell you what he said and how it relates to this Ebola mess. Then we're going to look at Ron Klein, or Klain, the mob fixer at the White House who has been chosen as America's Ebola czar. We're going to get a picture of him. You're going to know who he is. And I'm going to tell you what they're doing with Ebola, what they're doing with this horrid disease, and how it's going to lead to immigration, invasion of millions who will come across from Haiti, from Jamaica, from the Caribbean islands, from Central America, South America, and from Asia and Africa and so forth. And after all, we are a collective nation. There are no borders anymore. That's what the protocols of Zion tell us. There are no borders. There are no nations. We're all in this together. We're fighting Ebola as a global citizen. I mean, you're not really an American, are you? You're a global citizen. That's what your Secretary of State, John Kerry, said in a speech this very week. Isn't that so? Well, we'll look into that and see the facts about that. When we return, I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're discovering things about the Ebola invasion and how it is hitting America and will cause a significant impact in your lives in the months to come. Stay with us, won't you? Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, I've written a book talking about the neocons, about the Jewish takeover of America. The truth, I reveal in this book the truth about the Judaic religion of Judaism. Jesus said the religion of the Jews was man-made. Oh, are you surprised? Are you a Christian? You say, yes, I am. You're a Baptist, you're a Pentecostal, you're a Methodist, or what? You say, well, yes, I do believe, but don't they believe in the Old Testament and Jehovah God? Isn't that what they believe? No, it's not what they believe at all. You have to study something called Judaism. Don't you remember that Jesus said your religion is man-made traditions? He told the Jews, you compass the whole world just to make one disciple. And after he is made, you teach him to become twice the devil that you are.
Oh.
Judaism, if you're a convert to Judaism, you will become twice the devil that the Jews are. Anybody considering converting to Judaism better think about that. I didn't say that, by the way, but I believe it because my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, told us. I believe that Judaism is a religion that is man-made. Why do I believe it? Not only do I know it, not only do I have the facts about the Talmud, their most holy book, about the Kabbalah, another system of corrupt sorcery books by the Jews, but I know that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said it. Now, you may not believe what Jesus said. You may think he's a liar. That's fine. That's up to you. You know, that'll be resolved in time, believe me. You will stand before the throne, and you will call him a liar, and he will consign you to hell. But that's between you and him. But as far as Judaism being a man-made religion, there's no doubt about it. Their Talmud is written by men, and they say it is written by men. And they say in their Talmud, they say that the Talmud is superior to any other book, including the Old Testament, and that the rabbis not only wrote the Talmud, but they say in the Talmud that God often contacts the chief rabbis for spiritual advice. It's superior to God. You go to synagogue on Saturday, that's when they have their worship day, the Sabbath. That rabbi is no doubt more wise, more all-knowing than is God. And that is the purpose of the Jewish utopia that's mentioned in the Talmud. The Jews are working for a utopia, and we call it a kingdom. Remember, they rejected the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But they're working for their own kingdom. They're going to be their own Messiah. Their kingdom they call a Jewish utopia. In fact, there's a book by that name by Rabbi Heidegger. I have a copy of the book, Jewish Utopia. That's what their Talmud says, the Kabbalah. They're working toward that goal. And a neocon group in the United States of, at its core, no more than 9, 10, or 15, or 20 Jews are running America today. But they are assisted by several hundred other Jews, very powerful billionaires and so forth, who are further assisted by thousands of other Jews. And it spirals out from there. And the people at the top, of course, in the inner core, which is called Mega, they know what's going on, but the people at the bottom, all they know is, well, we're Jews, we're the superior race, we're God's chosen, we're a divine bloodline. That's all they know. We're better than these beasts, these goyim, who are donkeys, who are meant only to serve us. That's what many Jews believe. Of course, they're mistaken, because no race is superior. There is no chosen race. God is no respecter of persons, but they believe that he is. Who? What God? Their God. Is that Jesus? No. Is it the holy God of the Bible? No. They have another God. I just talked about him just recently. I think it was last week. They have a name for him, but they keep it secret. But let me just give you a little hint. It's called Ein Sof. E-I-N Sof. Two words. Read about Ein Sof. You heard about the all-seeing eye. Well, this is a God that doesn't have one eye. He keeps his eye closed. But I wish I had more time to talk about that. Right now, I want to tell you that many of these secrets are in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. You've got to understand What is the six-pointed star? Why is it coded 666? That's right, the six-pointed star. What is all this about? What do you mean that they don't believe in the Old Testament? They have their own God, their own beliefs. How can I know what the Jews have done to destroy America since, well, say World War II, even before that, with the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, with the Income Tax Act of 1913, through the Roosevelt, even before the Wilson administration, up to today. The ouster of Nixon and Agnew by the Jews. Oh, you didn't know the Jews did it? Oh, you just thought that it just happened? No. It was a neocon. They were the new... See, at that time, the Jews were mostly Democrats. And when the Republicans tried to do them in, that's what Nixon and Agnew did, and failed, the Jews said, we've got to get going on this. We've controlled the Democrats, but that's only about half of America. We need the other half. We need the Republicans. And so they recruited all of these Jews to join the Republican Party. They were Trotskyites. They were communists. But they suddenly said, we're now a Republican. Bill Kristol, David Horowitz, all of them. David Horowitz even admits, he says, as a young man, I was a Trotskyite. I was a communist. But now, of course, I'm a conservative. All these people, Paul Wolfowitz, all of the, you know, they're all called neocon Jews. And at one time, either their fathers or them were socialist, revolutionary, communist. But now, of course, they've seen the light. They're Republicans. They call them neocons or new conservatives. They are new, all right. They're really not conservative at all. They despise Christians, but they'll take Christians into their little cabals and such, as long as you agree with homosexuality and all the things that they agree with. Now, how do you get a copy of Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star? Please, write to us. It's $25. Please add $5 shipping and handling. It's a big book. You can't put it in your back pocket, let me tell you. It's a big book. A lot of information. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. Total of $30. Write to us at Power of Prophecy, or to text Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can phone us, too, during the work week. A friendly receptionist will take your order. And that phone number is 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Hey, go to our website. There you'll see a list of all of our books and videos and such. PowerOfProphecy.com. PowerOfProphecy.com or TexMars.com. You say you don't know how to spell my name? Well, I can't blame you. Sometimes I almost can't spell it myself. Well, it's T-E-X-E. That's right. The midwife back in East Texas put an E on the name at the end of Texie or Tex. That's our little secret that it's Texie. Now, don't call me Texie. I don't like that name. But if you do it, I'll forgive you. You're my friend. But Texie, T-E-X-E, M-A-R-R-S, just like the planet, but two R's. TexMars.com. Now, let's return to our regular program. We're talking about Ebola. The invasion has hit America. And it's a pandemic. It's a pandemic, my friends. And it began with our allowing a black man into America who already had the disease from Liberia. Nobody checked him. They just let him in. Then he went up to a hospital in Dallas and said, hey, I'm sick. They refused him one day, and then a couple of days later, they let him in, and, well, he... You know the story. His name, Thomas Eric Duncan. Who is Mr. Duncan? Well, it turns out that he was an employee of the U.S. Aid Agency. What is the U.S. Aid Agency? We have this across the world. It's these people are, you know, they're there to help the local people. What they really are is an intelligence front run by the CIA. He worked for the CIA. Now, did he have this virus? Ebola, no doubt he did.
So he was told, they gave him, bought him a ticket, evidently, and said, go to America. That's what we want you to do. There you'll get help. He came to America, went to Dallas, and, of course, there he died. And two nurses also got sick, contracted Ebola. Nina Phan, a Vietnamese-American young lady, and Amber Vinson, a young black lady. Now, neither one of these ladies are implicated in any kind of plot. They are part of the plot. They are victims. And I hope that they take corrective court action and sue the government, which claims that they maybe violated the protocols. No, they didn't. Now they've started to change those protocols about what you can wear and all that stuff because they were poppycock. They were nonsense. And they got infected. Now, it's very curious. I read in the Dallas newspaper something interesting. It said that there are some almost 3 million people in Dallas, Texas. But it turns out that Amber Vinson, the black lady, lived in the very same apartment complex that Mr. Duncan was visiting. How's that possible? 3 million people. What do you think? Maybe 2,000 apartment complexes? And we're 1.5 million people in Austin, Texas. There's hundreds of apartment complexes. She lived within a block and a half of where Duncan was staying. Very curious. And by the way, when they took Vinson, remember that dramatic scene in Atlanta, Georgia, when they were, in Dallas, they were putting her on the aircraft and they were going to take her to Atlanta, Georgia, to Emory Hospital, and she had all this stuff on, all the gadgets, the hazardous material, clothing, being taken to this private executive jet that was, you know, cleansed and all that stuff of Ebola virus, and there were three people assisting her, and a fourth person was just walking along with them without any protective clothing on. I've got a picture right here in front of me. Think about it. He had no protective clothing. Why not? Did he know something? We also know that an ABC newsman got it over in Liberia because a news crew was, I guess, doing a story on, well, probably this Ebola virus from ABC News. Now, remember, this is not a new virus. It was first discovered in Africa in 1976. That means it's 38 years we've known about this virus. 38 years old. We should have already known about it, whether it's airborne or not, or just how to protect ourselves from it with the gear. The CDC is just full of nonsense about it. 38 years, we should know everything about it. They shouldn't be catching it, contracting it. We should know how to prevent it. Mr. Frieden says, we know how to prevent this, how it's contracted. Shut up. You're a liar. Go back to your 36 million condoms and your trans fats and your gun control, Mr. Frieden. Let disease be taken care of by doctors, okay? All right. Now, this is very curious why Miss Vinson lived a block and a half. And it's also curious that the family that Mr. Duncan was living with suddenly disappeared from the apartment complex. We put a quarantine on, supposedly, but then they disappeared. They said that a mysterious benefactor had picked them up and he gave them a home to live in. Oh, then a couple of days later, the young lady who lived there, the daughter of the fiance of Mr. Duncan, suddenly showed up in middle school. Well, I thought she was on quarantine. There she was in the middle school, and the school was questioned about it. They said, we don't think there's any problem. She wasn't even on quarantine. She'd been living there when the guy had been vomiting and letting all these bodily fluids out and spitting every which way with horrible AIDS. As he left the apartment, was taken out to the hospital, they said he vomited on the sidewalk there. Well, the lady, one of the young girls, teenagers living there, turns out to be going 3 days later, was going to school, just like any other normal teenager. How's that possible? How's it possible that that non-protected worker at the Atlanta, he wasn't concerned at all. He walked out there with them. And why were the others in protective gear? Why was Miss Amber Vanson all in these heavy protective, you know, hazardous material gear and clothing? But he wasn't. He obviously knew. He didn't know. We're very worried about it. Now, the ABC man, he contracted it. He was a cameraman. How did he contract it? While he was over there taking this documentary? Well, they said it was while he was washing a car. Washing a car that had been used by somebody who died of Ebola. And that's how he got it, by washing the car, and it got on him, the bacteria. When does an ABC cameraman wash cars over in Africa? They're paying workers, you know, they're like 80% unemployment over there, and they pay people, you know, a couple of bucks to wash your car. Why does the newsman have to wash a car that an Ebola victim died in? That's all nonsense. But anyway, he supposedly contracted the bacteria. He's brought word to Nebraska. And the leader of that team, the ABC News team, Dr. Nancy Spiderman, or whatever her name was. Let's see, I've got it here somewhere. Oh, let's see. And Dr. Snyderman, not Spiderman, Snyderman, S-N-Y-D-E-R-M-A-N. She and the other members of the crew came back to America and said, we're going to self-quarantine ourselves for 21 days, you know, to make sure that we don't have this virus, we don't pass it on to others. Then a couple of days later, she was caught leaving her little supposedly compound. She got in a taxi, went downtown, and bought some food. She had ordered some food from a restaurant. Then she brought it back to all the other people of the ABC News team. She broke her quarantine, took a taxi, went and got food, rode a taxi back, and she was caught doing it. Dr. Snyderman. She didn't wear any protective gear. Wasn't she worried that she may give the virus to the taxi driver, to the people at the restaurant? This is incredible. Dr. Snyderman. Maybe she realized there was no virus at all. Maybe the newsman, maybe he didn't really have it. Maybe it's all a fake. Maybe they're trying to set us up. Now, Duncan, they say, died, but we haven't seen his body. They said they did something with it. They either cremated it or put it in a hermetically sealed coffin or what. See, they're not going to show you any body. We don't know whether he died or not. It's very odd, very strange. Now, we're told by the head of the Central Command, a general, that if this Ebola virus gets in Central and South America, gets started there, or maybe goes over to Jamaica, the Caribbean islands, you know, Aruba, all those areas, Haiti, it could be disastrous. Millions of illegal aliens could come across the border. There could be a flood of immigration in America. We couldn't stop them all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That might be what's going to happen. Maybe they're going to suddenly catch Ebola.
Maybe an Ebola pandemic, a horrible epidemic, is going to take place in those countries. Maybe very soon, in just a few months, you're going to see millions come across. We've already seen an incredible invasion of young immigrants. Maybe Nicaragua, Honduras, all these countries are going to, El Salvador, Mexico, down into, well, it's going to bring 100 million people, maybe. Totally blanket America. Change America forever. Meanwhile, Obama, they put out the fact that they're going out and asking for bids from contractors, the White House, for up to $34 million over the next year and a half, green cards. That's for to make it legal for illegals to stay here. They're admitting there's up to 34 million of them right now in America, and they're going to make all of them legal. And we're being told that after the election, Obama's going to announce a universal pardon for all of the illegals in America. They call them undocumented immigrants, you know. I still call them illegal aliens. Is that what they're after? They want to destroy America forever. They're going to make 34 million people have green cards, and then they're going to take away the need for an ID card, a citizen's ID card, for voting. That's why the Democratic judges, that's why they're trying to change the Constitution. I mean, you need an ID card to cash a check, to you know, whatever, for all kinds of purposes. To drive a car, you need an ID, a driver's license. You don't go without your photo ID unless you're voting. Then you're just your name is Jose Gomez or Juan Gutierrez or Maria whatever, and come on down and vote. You know, we have a saying here in Texas. It's called, if you're a Democrat, that is, vote early, vote often. Vote early, vote often. And I'm sure that, you know, some people are being paid to come in and vote. Not every Mexican or Honduran or El Salvador is crooked and corrupt, but enough are that they're gonna have it so that they're gonna have so many people, 34 million. They only need maybe 5 or 6 million of those to be able to vote, and they're gonna influence all of us. I'm already reading that, well, America will be changed. It'll never be the same. They're going to make sure the Democrats win, the progressives win. But even if the Republicans win, they want to make sure that the kind of Republicans that they put into office are different than the Republicans that you and I once knew about. We're not going to have the Goldwaters. We're not even going to have the Reagans. We're going to have the John Boehners. We're going to have the Romneys. We're going to have the Jeb Bushes. We're going to have the Ted Cruzes and the Rand Pauls, the Zionist puppets. That's what we're going to have. Rhinos, Republicans in names only, in name only, that is. And they've already approved Obamacare. They told you we voted 41 times to disapprove Obamacare. But then the very next day, they voted to approve all the money for it. They didn't tell you about that, did they? John Boehner just went a couple of months ago and approved next year's budget and approved billions and billions for Obamacare. How can you vote against it but vote money to keep it going? That's because you can write John Boehner and complain about Obamacare costing so much and being socialist America, and he writes you back and says, you're absolutely right. Well, I voted against it many times. But what you need to understand is, he gave the money for it. He's a big BSer, and they knew that the vote to kill Obamacare was baloney and would never pass, but the money would. The money would pass. That's what I told you. The House of Representatives has the power of the purse. They can disapprove Obamacare today. This very minute, they can disapprove Obamacare. No more money for it. It's dead. Would they? No. Because the friendly guy who ran for vice president from Illinois last year, what was his name? I forget it now. Doesn't matter. He's a loser. The congressman. They're all for Obamacare. Don't believe when they tell you they're not. They're all for immigration reform, they call it, for bringing in millions. And this Ebola virus is going to frighten all these people, and they're going to come over. They come over for jobs before. The next are going to come for health. They don't want to get Ebola. When the people in their villages start contracting Ebola, they're going to come to America. And even the ones with Ebola are coming. What would you do if you're a Honduran or a Mexican or a Jamaican or a Haitian? You're going to do just what Mr. Duncan did. When you contract Ebola, you're going to come right to America. I mean, they don't have the medical facilities to save your life in Honduras or Mexico, but they've got it here in the United States. That's why Mr. Duncan, no doubt that's why he came to America. He wanted to save his life. They're going to want to save their life, and everybody affected with it, everybody even who've known these victims are going to say, I've got to save my life. I've got to go to America. I've got to go to a place where they have facilities. Because in America, we have Medicaid. We will get medical care free. I mean, how much do you think they spent for Mr. Duncan? Probably $4 to $5, $6, $7 million at that Presbyterian Hospital of Dallas. Millions of dollars for one patient. If you're a Mexican, you can't even get a job, or if you got a job, you're making a couple grand a year. Think about it. You're looking at $4, $5, $6 million medical payments. No, you're not, because you're going to go to America. You're going to go across the border. You're going to go. Then you can get everything free. Your family can have housing free. You can get food free. You can get telephones free. Everything free, free. Now, let me tell you about Mr. Klain. He's the new Ebola czar. He's been around in these administrations of the Democrats for years and years. He was chief of staff for Al Gore. He's the guy that crafted the global warming message, which is propaganda for Al Gore. His wife, Monica, has a part-time job with the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. She's an environmentalist hack. She's an activist environmentalist. He's also chief of staff as head of the office, not only for Al Gore, but for Joe Biden. You see, the Jews put somebody in control. And that's what Ron Klain is. He's a Jew. They put him in charge of Al Gore so that Al Gore wouldn't be a loose cannon. They put him in charge of Joe Biden because Joe Biden is, in fact, a loose cannon. He's sort of an idiot that will say anything. He'll tell the truth when he's not supposed to. He's a loose cannon, so therefore they put Ron Klain, made him chief of staff. Why do they put Jews in charge? They even put Rahm Emanuel in charge of the White House, the chief of staff of the White House, so they could control the president, what he had to say. And then Michelle Obama said a few things that they thought were a little strange, and they took away her black assistant and put a Jew in charge of her office as chief of staff. They had Jews running the White House. In 2008, Mr. Klain was put in charge of the stimulus package. Remember Solyndra? Yeah. If you like your Solyndra, you'll love your Ebola. Because he was the one that gave us the Solyndra bankruptcy. There were $1 billion. But listen to this. You remember during the Great Recession, the Great Economic Depression of 2007 and 8, you know why it was caused? Because they were giving out these subprime mortgages. They were giving 100% mortgages, plus they gave you money in addition to it. They gave out hundreds of thousands of mortgages to people that were unqualified. Many of them were illegal aliens, and they just gave them these mortgages. How about that? Mr. Juan Gomez, coming to America, we'll give you a free home. Plus, we'll give you $50,000 to go along with it. Plus, free medical care and all those things. Guess who was the chief lobbyist for Fannie Mae, one of the two mortgage organizations in America? Mr. Ron Klain. He's the one that gave us the breakdown of the American economy. He's the one chiefly responsible for the Great Recession that we had in 2008. Forward magazine, a Jewish magazine, said he's the top Jewish lawyer. Yeah, that's who's running the Ebola. That's who's watching over us. Why are we sending these troops to fight Ebola? How can troops fight a virus? They're there to make sure of the diamond mines, the gold mines, the oil. We want all of that. Israel wants it. That's why we're conquering nation after nation in the Middle East. That's why we're now in Africa. We got an African command. We got troops on the ground there. All of this is for the Jewish utopia of the neocons. Seymour Hersh talks about it. He told the ACLU. He says, we have a bunch of guys, maybe 8 or 9 at the top, neoconservatives. It's about a utopia. It's about permanent revolution. It begins in the Middle East, but now it's spread to Africa. Israel will be a beneficiary, but the world is in their eyes, he said. This is utopia. They've taken the government over, says Seymour Hersh. He told the ACLU that. Did you read about that in your local newspapers? You didn't? I've got a transcript right here in front of me. Ebola is for world government. John Kerry said so. He says, this is a collective thing. We're all global citizens. We can't work alone on this. We can't forbid travel. We can't quarantine nations. We've all got to come together as one. Sure. Now, Bill and Melinda Gates, George Soros, all these people are involved one way or another. The Ebola pandemic. It's a hit job on America. I'm Tex Morris. Friends, you've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.